Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about the second part, the second episode of the RuPaul's Drag Race Season 14 premiere. We finally got to meet the remaining seven queens. Another queen was eliminated, and we are here to break everything down for you. First, let me welcome in our fabulous panel. First, Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
Doing really well. I'm just like, I don't know why, even though I should feel DRF, which is Drag Race fatigue right now, just given how many installations of the franchise there are, I'm still feeling like rejuvenated by the season with the split premiere. I'm like, okay, this is how it's supposed to be done. So I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, I do think that this format has been super successful so far. I mean, I have some thoughts, maybe a little bit lackluster, whelmed, if you will, for the second premiere, but still having a great time getting to meet all of these brand new queens. And let's round out the panel with Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
I would have to agree. I'm good. I think that they definitely knew what they were doing. They put the maybe the more, I don't want to say more exciting, but it was a stronger batch in episode one, but there was still some really cool nuggets here and there for episode two. So I agree. I think that they knew what they were doing, but I also think that I'm still having a great time with all the queens. So yay.
Well, let's just get this announcement out of the way at the top of the show. If you are a fan of the other versions of RuPaul's Drag Race, all of the international versions, there is going to be an International All-Stars. I believe it's actually Drag Race UK versus the World is the official title. And that, yeah, I don't know if that's going to air.
Why? Because there's three UK queens.
Yeah.
There's like, isn't there the same number of like US queens? Let's see. Hold on. Drag Race UK versus the World. So this is going to air February 1st, I believe. So early February is when the premiere of this is going to be. And this is going to be, I believe, on, if you are from the US, WOW Presents Plus. I think it's also airing on the BBC, which is why I think they're calling it UK versus the World, because that's like the, you know, the angle
the
that they're taking.
Country.
Yeah, sure. The host, you know, the Olympics have to be hosted somewhere, just like Drag Race UK versus the World.
I just feel like it's such a cumbersome name. Like, granted, if this is supposed to be the Drag Olympics, right? We often will say, oh, it's the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. You know what I mean? But we say Summer Olympics in Tokyo. We don't say the Summer Olympics Japan versus the world.
Well, like, I wonder if they shot it in the UK. Because if they did, that makes more sense. So maybe we're going to have more UK judges. And I bet the UK was easier for everybody to get to.
But they definitely shot it there and they're hosting it there, but I still feel like it's not versus the world. It's just the UK.
The judges listed are Alan Carr, Graham Norton, and Michelle. So it's the panel, you know, the same panel from the UK. But totally, I don't know, Amon, maybe if it's because they already called, well, RuPaul's Drag Race is the Olympics of drag. So how do you have the Olympics of the Olympics of drag? does that make sense? I don't know. So,
I guess, yeah. But I mean, I'm excited either way. You know, I'm gonna watch. So I just felt like the title was just so long.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So look, we'll get to that when we get to that. Okay. We still have seven fabulous queens to talk about today. I just wanted to get that out of the way. Made sure we mentioned it. If you are an International Drag Race fan, okay. Second part of the premiere. So Beth, you said you're having fun.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about this episode?
I thought this was fun. I liked this batch of queens as well. I noticed some key differences that make me really wonder if RuPaul liked this group. Like, I really felt like the walkthroughs were RuPaul, like, giving shade to every queen, essentially. And then being like, okay, Maddie, come out here. The whole point of this is I just want Maddie. I want to talk to Maddie. Like, that felt very, like, let's put on a show kind of thing. Like the first group of queens, it really felt like Rue was like, oh, let me get to know you. Oh, you're so interesting. This group was like, don't you think that that's not a good idea? Like, I don't know. I just, after the walkthroughs, I really felt like RuPaul doesn't like this group, like, at all.
It was a little bit. Yes, it did feel skewed because I think Lady Camden got that. It's like, so, you know, like, ballet is boring, right?
Yeah.
Which is just, oh, okay. I went to the ballet once. I was super bored. Like, oh, great. And I feel that also Diabetti got a lot of that. I definitely get that sense. But Georges, I thought, got a lot of really positive critiques. I thought Angie got a lot of really positive critiques. It seems like RuPaul is in love with a few of these queens. Mm-hmm. To me, the imbalance, Amon, came from the lip syncing. So it was like four queens who did a lip sync routine, essentially. Mm-hmm. Then a comedy routine, which ended up in the bottom, and a, you know, original song. So at least they split up those two girls, but then it was just four. I guess we had the guitar. So we're actually playing the guitar, by the way, from Maddie. So maybe it wasn't as imbalanced as I was thinking.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was a bunch of lip syncs. Like, I mean, I know that Angeria, and she won and she was great and everything, but she made her talent. She marketed it as, I'm performing it. Girl, you're lip syncing. It might be an original song, but you're lip syncing. and even with the dancers, like, I mean, maybe they weren't saying anything with their lips, but they were still sort of performing to a recorded track. It was all sort of a similar vein. So I completely understand why they went ahead and put all of these girls in this episode, because there was a little bit more of a variety in the beginning episode. With that being said, a lot of these girls can perform the house down. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, I mean, if you can lip sync and you can do it well, by all means, show your stuff. But, you know, in the land of lip sync, which Drag Race really is, it gets very hard to do all of that, or to watch it over and over and over again. So I was sympathizing with Michelle.
It makes me wonder if this the reason why RuPaul didn't do a second lip sync in the second premiere? Why was it only for the first episode? This is what has kept me up at night the past two nights. What was the point of the lip sync in the first episode, RuPaul? Why was it not encored here? Don't get me wrong, I wasn't begging for it, but it just makes me wonder why. Was it because you knew there were going to be a lot of lip syncs and you were going to be outshadowed?
Look, it's a lot of energy for Mama Ru to use, okay?
To walk.
To do those dance moves.
And walk.
Yeah, too much.
Side to side like a crab.
Yeah, look, you know, you gotta use your energy, pick your battles, right? So I think that's probably the case. Yeah, I think I'm looking now in a little bit more detail. So first of all, happy that they repeated the talent show. I'm actually going to be super curious to know if this is something they're going to continue from here on out, or is mm-hmm. this just going to be kind of a one and done type deal? They tested it for this season. We'll see what happens in the future. I think it was the fact that you had Georges dancing, lip syncing. Jasmine Kennedy, dancing, lip syncing, mm-hmm. although, you know, more acrobatic. Diabetti, again, lip syncing, although tried to do it from a humorous perspective. And then Lady Camden, again, dancing. It was like four in a row. And then by the time we got to Deja, I was like, oh, thank God, something different. And then I was like, okay.
Deja, can you go back and lip sync?
Yeah, maybe I would have been okay with a lip sync here. Just it wasn't like, I get the idea, I get the concept. It just wasn't funny. But anyway, so the point is that there were the four in a row, and I think that's really what like hammered it home for me. That was like, oh, okay, this is why they're in the second group. Oops.
I really wonder if they do keep this, if they'll say you can't lip sync, because it used to be that you couldn't lip sync. That's the whole reason why Coco Montrese and All Stars 2. Did yeah. that weird mm-hmm. dance routine that mm-hmm. didn't make sense. Because if she, let's be 100% honest. If she'd been allowed to come out and do a Janet Jackson lip sync, she would have won that challenge. Like, Coco Montrese, you can't beat her.
I am kind of, it is a little weird that they aren't banning it, because I really feel like, I mean, it's within your best interest to save lip syncing for the end of the episode. I'm not saying that you can't sprinkle it in every now and then. Of course, we have lip syncing is a huge part of the finale and the crowning and everything. But I just feel like we already know that's going to happen. And if you're a good lip syncer, is a good lip syncer, is a good lip syncer, maybe it's because the variety of talent in a lot of today's drag queens is just not there. And a lot of younger drag queens just think that all you got to do is put on some heels and some lip gloss and shake your ass to a Beyonce number. I think that's kind of it. Like, are we getting less people that know how to sew? Are we getting less people that know how to draw? Are we getting less people that can play instruments? Because it just seems like year after year after year, it's the same old, same old. Like, so I don't know. Maybe they need to focus a bit more on variety of talent when they're casting for these queens. Because right now it's like, all right, girl, I mean, you're a drag queen. That's number one, which you should be able to do.
I think while Yeah, it was a little boring having the four in a row. I actually don't fault the show. I fault the queen.
100%.
Like, I'm totally fine if you want to lip sync, but you have to do something super unique with it. This needs to be more like, to Amon's point, the finale lip sync, not the lip sync for your life, because that is a last minute, theoretically, you don't know you're going to be in the bottom, like raw talent, just go for it. This is planned. I expect props. I expect it to be rehearsed. Mm-hmm. And
a bit of a story there.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And on pizzazz.
Diabetti had at least the concept of what I was thinking you could do if you're going to do a lip sync, right? Like, it's a choreographed number with the props that you are prepared to do. It was just not executed necessarily in the best way. So I think there's absolutely a way to do it that shows off talent, that makes you stand out. And then on the flip side, what I would consider to be, I don't want to say real talent, right? But like an out-of-the-box talent, like playing the guitar, Maddie got criticized for it. And we saw this with Thorgy and playing the violin. Like, Thorgy also didn't necessarily get props for having a quote-unquote real talent.
So it's
like, they're also the show. Then I blame the show there. It's like, well, you're not valuing the queens who are bringing something different to the table, because it's not like that snappy, entertaining number you want to see. So I don't know. It's confusing.
That's a really good point, because they typically, I mean, both people that won the talent show, both episodes, were people that performed a lip sync of an original song. So on one hand, if you want people to do more than lip sync, then stop rewarding the people that do more than lip sync, or start rewarding the people that do more than lip sync. But it feels like what the thing that set Angeria, as well as what's her face over the top,
Cornbread.
What's your face, Cornbread, was the fact that not only did they do an original lip sync, but the original lip sync song was actually good and catchy. Yeah. So I feel like if you can do an original song that showcases your personality, which is also one of the tenets of this challenge, then okay, I can get behind that, because you're showing who you are. You're giving it to us in a song. Not only that, but the way that you lip sync the song was very, very well done. So in that respect, I understand. But it's still a lip sync at the end of the day.
I don't know why you would want to lip sync. Even an original, I know the reason why you do original song. It's because buy it on iTunes. Let me make some money and market myself. Like, this is, at the end of the day, RuPaul's marketing race. Like, that is what this whole show is really about. It's about to put yourself up on a platform so that you can book better gigs and have a wider fan base. Mm-hmm. That's number one. But I don't know why you would want to showcase your dance moves and your lip syncing. Wouldn't you want to save that so you don't show RuPaul and the judges what you're capable of, so that when you lip sync for your life, it's an experience and you're more likely to stay? Like, I just think of that as, like, excuse the expression, but blowing your load a little too early here. Like, I just, like, why are you doing that?
That's because you're a strategist. Like, you're thinking like a gamer, dude. Like, you're like, okay, so I have to be super strategic with the way that I plan out my talents. But like, that's why, you know, maybe some queens are going to be able to be more successful, because maybe they do think that way. Yeah. Because by the time you see the third split, you're like, yeah, okay, that, like, I've seen this before, you know.
I've gotten so desensitized to incredible dance moves that I will never in my wildest dreams be able to perform, because they're shown every episode. So save those moments, future queens who are going to be on the show. I respect people who wanted to go out and do comedy and such. Now, that's the other thing. We need one person to do a successful comedy routine, because we need to show that it can be done.
Foghorn, Leghorn. I'm trying to think of anyone who's been successful in any of the talent shows doing comedy, because Jasmine Masters, no. Trinity K. Bonet, no. The two lip sync or the comedy routines we saw this season, no.
I feel like the only time that it's actually successful is when everybody has to do it.
Exactly.
And then you just choose the best of the worst. So there you go.
But I 100% agree.
No, you're cracking the code. The roasts are not actually funny.
They're not.
Yeah, it's just the worst of the worst that actually end up going home.
But that's exactly the point. So if you're going to keep a talent, to your exact point, Liana, Let's start rewarding people who have actual talent. And also, it's not like Thorgy just sat up there and played the violin. She did a full on handstand roundup or whatever it is, like while holding a violin. Like there's stuff that's in Thorgy's. You had Trixie playing auto harp and singing. You had Maddie who just full on actually played an instrument. Like, give those people the roses they deserve in that situation.
Mm-hmm. That's boring though. So.
Or just make an original song before you come to Drag Race and we'll all just release it all together and that's your first challenge.
That's the album, actually. That's how RuPaul gets a brand new album every year.
The way that World of Wonder has missed the opportunity to cash in on other queens' talents and prizes in a whole other way, to say we're the new concept, first challenge. You guys all have to record an original song that tells us who you are. And then lip sync it in the first episode. And then after the second premiere, we're going to release the season 15 album of all the songs. You want to be a marketing show? Be a marketing show.
I mean, honestly, even like they're finally just putting a lot of the YouTube like stuff on YouTube, like the performances and the songs and stuff. And there's some that still I have to go back to the episode if I want to listen to because I just can't find it anywhere. Like, stop being stupid.
I feel like it probably just involves too many contracts and royalties about who will get what because it's not RuPaul's original content. But then maybe he makes them sign away their rights if they want to perform it on his show. So it's just like it's probably a legal headache. So,
yeah, I don't know anything about that. So I'm just going to pretend like it's easy and move on. Let's take a step back. Let's just talk about the cast in general. So we got to meet the seven new queens. Beth, I know you drafted several of them. So we were discussing in the pre-show. Is there anyone?
I have an eye for who's just going to go so far in this comp.
Nailed it. Well, so is there anybody who stood out for good or a bad way? To me, Diabetti, not only looking, but also sounding like Crystal Method. I was like, is Crystal actually back? I was like, she sounds like her, right? Like,
yeah, no, crazy. 100%. It's interesting. It's not like any other returning, like, house member coming onto a show, or not returning, but like a new house member coming onto a show. Like, you like never would have been like, oh, Laganja is 100% Alyssa's drag daughter. Oh my gosh. Okay. Definitely Willow is Evie's drag daughter. Okay. Or dentist,
drag dentist.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. This is a carbon copy. Like, if this is a carbon copy, and I just, and I'm like, what? Well,
that's what Ruth said. It was like a Xerox of a Xerox, which is, could you imagine like getting that critique? I'd just be like, that's so gut wrenching.
You know, maybe this is because I didn't really spend a lot of time paying attention to Crystal Method, but I didn't really see it that much. I mean, obviously when it was pointed out to me, I was like, oh, okay, I can see some of the similarities in the paint. But yeah, I don't know. I felt like the show was doing a better job of connecting the dots in the gene pool than I was. I was kind of just like, oh, that's cute. I don't know. I didn't really see it. Well, I will say this about Diabetti. She had a lot of DRs, okay? Clearly, the producers, I don't know if it's just RuPaul having some leftover love for Crystal Method and it's just spilling over onto Dia. But we got a couple of comments and a couple of mentions on Twitter this past week about, well, guys, you know they're actually going to come back, right? Because the 14 chocolate bars and this, that, and the third. And I was like, all right, okay, I guess I can see. And then especially when she gets so many DRs, I'm like, okay, so this is clearly somebody that they're interested in. So not be surprised if I was wrong and Diabetti and Orion Strider will be returning in the next episode or somehow in some kind of capacity.
Yeah, so now that I have my conspiracy theory hat on, like with, oh my God, they're coming back. What Rue says when both of them get eliminated, both Orion and Daya, this is just the beginning of the rest of your life.
This is the beginning.
Oh, he said that to Daya as well?
Yes, to both of them. Which makes me feel like that to me is okay. Yeah, they're coming back, right? This is just the beginning. Like,
I can be convinced of this for sure. And part of it, I thought the same thing, like this, like RuPaul's Drag Race edgic logic of like, why give so much? Like, I knew that Angeria would win this week because she was given so many confessionals from the moment she walked in. It was like, let's check in with Angie about every single thing. So I knew she was going to win by like the third commercial break. And then with Diabetti, I was like, why would we have this unless they were coming back? And my theory is what they do like to do when they have people from different houses come on is replicate the treatment of what they did the first time with like the first member of that house. So Crystal Method started like, and then made a huge U-turn and shot up and went really far into the competition. Do we think the same thing is going to happen with Diabetti? And just putting out there, I hope so, because I drafted her.
Yeah. From a selfish perspective.
From a selfish perspective, I'm holding on to my own conspiracy that is self-serving. Thank you.
I don't know if you guys caught this, but the other funny Crystal Method moment was when I can't remember if it was in, I think it might have been when in the intros, like when they're doing their meeting each other for the first time. And it's like, oh, who are you related to? Like, oh, yeah, Crystal Method. And then to the beat of the Rhythm of the Night played a little bit, like the little DeBarge sound in the background, like played a little bit. Middle of the night. Yeah, just I thought that was a funny little editing moment.
So good.
From the Queens. Okay, let's see. Who else? Is there anybody else we want to touch on?
I mean, I loved Angeria's entrance look. Mm-hmm. Looking like a black Cruella de Vil. Bluella de Vil, if you will. Maddie Morphosis, you know, let's not bury the lead here. Mm-hmm. Had you guys hear about how he is the first heterosexual cis man to be on Drag Race? Did we hear about that? That's crazy.
Oh my god.
Incredible.
That's crazy.
What boundaries Maddie will break down?
We need to talk about Maddie. for both the episode itself and especially Untucked, because the editors were so shady to Maddie in that Untucked episode. You have all these people pouring out their souls of, you know, what it has been like for them to grow up, you know, as a gay man or a queer person. Yep. And every single time, cut to Maddie, who's just sitting there, so blank funny. Face. Every single like time, going back
sound
and forth.
Effect,
and like,
that searing sound effect, that like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, oh my God. And then, like, I mean, and I think Maddie, you know, brought up really wonderful points, which all boils down to toxic masculinity is what affects literally everybody, regardless of whatever sexual orientation, gender or orientation you are. Like, that is what it all boils down to. So wonderful moments there and really wonderful moments of recognizing privilege that Maddie says. But it is so obvious the way the editors and the producers are, it's like Maddie's more of a prop for editing now than recognizing the talent. And how Maddie also could just be so good for a talent and have one of the best runways I've seen in a long time. And he almost said the bottom as well, because like, it's just like, I think that they're going to use her for drama props more so than like lifting up her talent. And I'm really upset about that.
I just feel like they don't really know yet what to do, because obviously they, I mean, yes, we're all born naked and the rest is drag. I think that we all believe that here. But RuPaul, you cast her because you wanted a little bit of, ooh, oh my God.
We've got a breeder.
Oh God, here we go. Let's see what happens. Let's see the straight guy do his guitar routine. Oh my God. Like, we all thought, we all know that's what's going on here. But at the same time, it's like, okay, so now that we've gotten past the original shock value of it, now where do we go? And I feel like the editors are going to have an interesting time, because this is an archetype that we have not seen before. And so they don't really know how to edit a straight person, I don't think, yet. So I think we're going to get like a lot of like little, you know, it's going to be a bit of a bumpy road. I will say that I really enjoyed when Diabetti comes in and then sees Maddie, because the two of them know each other. And Daya is like, Maddie? And Maddie is like, Daya? And like the subtext in that Daya was like, don't you fucking say shit. I haven't said anything about the thing.
Well, and then
Daya was shady in the confessional about it too.
It was kind of hilarious when I don't know what producer was like, talk about being a gold star gay, because when
yeah.
it was like, well, Maddie's definitely a gold yeah. star.
I was like, damn.
Which, and then, oh yeah, Beth, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say, and then RuPaul comes in and is like, so you're straight.
Yeah, so you're straight. Tell me about being straight.
Yeah, tell me.
I mean, there were so many problematic things that happened in that episode within a 10-minute span. It was unreal. Like, first, the whole idea of being a quote-unquote gold star gay is so transphobic. The fact that World of Wonder, that has had so many issues with transphobia, just being like, all right, let's talk about being a gold star gay and, like, pretend that there aren't women who don't have penises out there. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you in that situation? And then move to, and I don't consider this outing, because I don't think you can out a straight person, even if they are in the minority of the culture that they're in, because that then equates them to being at the same quote unquote threat level that someone who is queer is in a straight space. But it's definitely friggin' rude of RuPaul to just come out and be like, so you're straight, tell us about that. Like, that, like, so problematic. One thing after another that I sat back and I was like, what is happening right now? It is 2022.
Like, yeah, it's going to be bumpy with her because I just feel like there's like so much commentary that they're trying to offer here. And one thing that RuPaul's Drag Race, I think, was a lot better at in the older seasons was having those organic conversations. But clearly you cast her because you wanted to have this conversation. And now the great thing is that we get to see Maddie showcase her talent. Great. Awesome. I'm all for it. But the drawback to that is now it is coming across as a little bit inorganic, and you're forcing the conversations to occur as opposed to it happening naturally. Like, if RuPaul had not said a damn thing, and then Maddie had just, of her own accord, had outed herself, then I feel like we would have gotten like that more of like a feel good, let's learn from each other type storyline. Now, granted, that doesn't mean it can't happen just because RuPaul did that. If anything, right. It'll probably just get sped up. It does sort of like leave like a bit of a awkward taste in your mouth when she did so much, just sort of like that entire time that she was in the workroom, she just was like, all right, let me just be chill. I'm gonna be chill. Even though I could tell that some of those girls were sniffing around, they were like, I smell a straight. They could tell that something was just a little off with Maddie Morphosis. So I don't know how much longer he could have last, you know, not saying anything, but yeah.
So that's my thing is to, again, use Beth's wonderful phrasing from earlier. It felt like they blew their load on Maddie, right? Because it was like that underlying tension would have been fabulous. And I totally agree with Amon. I don't think it would have lasted very long, right? I think that when you have all the queens in Untucked being like, as queer people, you know, like, let's all come together, I think Maddie would have felt a responsibility, because Maddie clearly from Untucked is very respectful. And I thought articulated themselves super well when talking about, as a straight person who is entering into a queer space, how it is my responsibility to conduct myself with respect and to appreciate the art that I am would love to participate in. Anyway, I think it would have been great if they had let that happen naturally. Totally agree. However, I mean, I don't know if this makes me a bad person, I was laughing my ass off at this. Like, I just wanted Rue at the end to just be like, hey, just in case Maddie's straight, y'all.
Straighty.
Straight.
Straight.
There was a comment on Reddit that just made my life. And it said, love that Rue is more inspired by Maddie being straight than Daya managing her lifelong diabetes. It just like sent me. And then I was thinking, okay, now we can have, you know, I know Kinsey scale out the door, no one cares. But what if we did, on a scale from Maddie to Joey J, how gay are you?
I just love this.
We all know I'm a gay ass bitch. I'm Joey J. So I feel like, look, there's new memes. There's new things to laugh at. In a loving, appreciative way. And so even though, yes, totally agree with you, Beth, that there were a lot of things just like questionable at best, I think being able to laugh and enjoy and still kind of have some fun with it was fun for me.
Yeah, because ultimately, I think, and obviously there's been a little bit of controversy, so not everybody agrees with Maddie being there. I ultimately fall on the side of, look, if you are someone who comes into the space and you have done your homework and you're not just there for like the clicks, because there are, because I appreciated what Maddie said in Untucked when she said, I don't think that all straight people should be doing drag, because it's not just thing. It's not something that you can just get into lightly. Now, in the same breath, it's like, I think that everyone should experience things that are new to them, because, I mean, that was sort of the entire point of Celebrity Drag Race, where we had all of those straight men come in and get in drag for the first time, but it wasn't in a controlled environment. It was something they had signed up for. It was with intent. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's what I think Maddie is getting into. It's like, you need to be very intentional with what you are doing when you are entering a culture that is not yours. Make sure that you're being respectful. Make sure that you're there to learn. Make sure that you take something out of it to make yourself a better person and not like just more famous or more appealing. Because yeah, this could go really south. Like, you know, I think ultimately, yes, Maddie would have had to out herself eventually, because then if you don't, then you kind of fall into the pitfalls of like, oh, is she queer baiting? What's going on? Like, why does she feel like she has to be undercut? Like, it's really weird. Mm-hmm. Like, so there could have been just so much, so it's a can of worms. And I hope that moving forward, now that it is like cats out of the bag, now that we've gotten over that hump, because she's going to have to do it again when all the other girls come in.
That's
gonna
the be other thing. Oh, yeah. From a production level, wouldn't it have been better to be there with like all the other queens to like have
they want
RuPaul
it twice? They want it twice, right? Yeah, they want it with this twice. Group, and then they're going to get it again with the second group. Maybe the second group is where like they want to do have it come out naturally, perhaps. Yeah. The fourth person, I don't know.
I kind of feel like one, and I say this as someone who is not a drag artist, so my opinion means very little here, but I kind of just generally feel like modern drag, yes, is a queer expression that mostly came out of the references that we see are also that came out of, you know, Black and Latinx communities and trans women and such for the past 60 plus years, right? But until we allow everybody to explore the gender spectrum and do it in a way that is respectful and such, we aren't advancing the art form. We're restricting it. And drag in itself is a political statement. So yes, having a straight man who is respectful, knows the homework and in the history and all those different kinds of things, do drag is a statement. And in the same way that, you know, everybody who is marginalized needs someone who's in the, you know, the hegemonic power to help them in order to get their cause across, right? You know, women need men to be advocates and allies, and you know, white people need to be advocates and allies for all other races. You need straight people who are advocates and allies for the queer community. Those kind of things need to happen. And if we gatekeep, we're hurting ourselves in the long run. But all of that said, I fully don't think that there are jokes that Maddie should make or participate in the show. If it's about being gay and all those different kinds of things, I think that Maddie's going to have to find a way to tread things. Maddie shouldn't be, you know, spreading around and saying the F word anywhere to people's faces.
That's,
you know,
like the delicate balance. Yeah.
That's
like,
the balance there.
Because I feel like gatekeeping, that word has just become so bastardized over the past this woke century, man. It's just so many terms that people just don't know what they're doing with. And I feel like, especially with gatekeeping, yes, like it can be seen as very like, oh, people are trying to be lofty. They're trying to be, oh, well, I'm a part of this identity and you can't have any. We don't want your cooties over here. But in some ways, yes, that can be a bit of an extreme example. But in some ways, gatekeeping is very much needed, because people need to know that not everything is for them and not everything is of them. And it's okay to have those distinctions. It's just all about how you respect the gate. You know what I mean? Because if you want to come in a little for a little peek, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, just open the gate a little bit. You know, maybe you got to pay a little something for some people to get in. But you know, as long as you're being respectful, that's it. I think that's all that's all about. And so 100%. I just hope that Maddie can be like a physical representation of that, and they don't bungle this, because there is plenty of time for this to go south. And I just hope that it does not. So,
yeah. I think Maddie will be fine. You know, Maddie also started out with some of the straight culture, you know, hallmarks, playing guitar. Anyway, here's Wonderwall, Guy Fieri inspired entrance look.
Yeah.
Okay, Maddie. I see you.
Wow, white straight cis guy plays guitar. groundbreaking. if you didn't know Maddie was straight then, yes. Honestly, that's on you. That's on you. Only thing that could have made it more straight is if you played Wonderwall while he was at it.
I pointed out the Alaska video on Willem's YouTube channel last week, and this was just, it just all made me laugh. I understand I am a guest in these queer spaces, and it is important for me to also be absolutely be respectful and appreciate mm-hmm. what I get to consume. I just was having a fabulous time.
No, it was great. It was a good time. It was good.
Okay.
One thing that I really loved, because I just learned this factoid a couple years ago. So when Lady Camden came in and she heard Angeria's voice and got so turned on, but I was like, oh my god! So I guess that's true. Then I was watching this video a couple years ago on YouTube about like accents and stuff like that, and like how Americans are just so obsessed with British accents. And it made me think, like, what kind of accents are British people into? And it's, like, a really popular thing that a lot of British people are super into Southern American accents. Not just any American accent, like, specifically Southern ones. And so when I saw the two of them interacting together, and I was like, oh, my God, I guess that's true. That's so interesting. So
it's so true. When I studied abroad in London, I had three little host sisters, and the youngest was 7 at the time. And when I walked in, I said hi, and I introduced myself. She was like, that's not your accent. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, you're supposed to talk like y'all and blah, blah, blah. And like, it was so funny. Like that was her envisioning of like what I was going to sound like. I was like, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. No, sorry. I sound like a mix of a Canadian and Minnesotan and also like Northeastern, just flat vowels, nasal. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Well,
Southern drag.
This is a totally random comparison, but thinking of British accents. So for some reason, Jasmine Kennedy reminds me of Davina Del Campo in the way that she looks, like her face. Yeah. Maybe it's the way she paints. I don't know what it is. But anyway, that was something
that I could see that a lot. She reminds me, she has shape, depending on what she's wearing. I have seen so many. I've seen Et Cetera, Et Cetera. I've seen Davina Del Campo. I've seen Aquaria. I've seen so many different things. And then her out of drag, I don't know why that's such a, like, that's not at all what I expected she would look like out of drag. Mm. It's just so funny. I just like all of these queens in the second premiere, I was like, that's not at all what I thought you would look like out of drag. I was like having the same commentary as the queens on television. They're like, was it Georgia said that that Deja looked like one of her Tios? And I started dying because there's all this glitter, just like remnants of glitter all over Deja's face. But otherwise does kind of look like, you know, like a, mm-hmm. like an uncle figure. So funny.
I think Deja did say, yep, your uncle's here. The uncle's here. So very much living for that. Well, let's talk about our bottom two. So Deja Sky and Daya Betty end up in the bottom, with Daya Betty ultimately being eliminated here. Do you think, Amon, that this was the right call to have these two in the bottom?
Yeah, I think so. I think we really just could not really get, it's sort of like the, Deja was suffering from this sort of the same thing that Orion suffered from. However, I do think that Deja's was definitely a little bit more well put together than Orion's, but similar story. And I don't know. I kind of go back and forth between Maddie and Daya, because it wasn't like it was entirely boring what Daya was doing. I mean, there was something, she had like a few gags in there here and there. And ultimately, Maddie, I think that she tried to say, like in her Untucked, she kept saying, I wanted to, like, my emotion to come across. I wanted to give an emotional performance. I was like, girl, sometimes, you know, you got to work on that. I mean, like, performing, I feel like people, when they say that, they want to say, they're trying to say, I want to come off as authentic whenever I perform. I want the emotion to ring through. Emotional performance is still performance art. We still need to see what you are trying to convey. And I feel like she doesn't have, I don't think she has the chops so far to just stand on a stage and play guitar and for us to really feel it quite yet. So I think I was kind of going back and forth. But I do think ultimately, sure, you know, playing your tongue with a guitar all the way around.
playing your tongue with a guitar, everybody.
Playing your guitar with your tongue is, you know, it's something to be said, even though we didn't see it. So I don't know, but I think ultimately, yeah, Daya was probably justified to be in the bottom.
Yeah, it's so hard because I definitely felt like Deja should have been in the bottom, even though I loved her runway look and I so appreciate what she was going for, but it just fell flat. I want to give Maddie all the credit in the world for actually playing an instrument and showcasing a talent other than the traditional things. And we've already had that discussion. But if you're going to play blues and soul and like that kind of like music, it can't feel rigid at all. And there were times that, and this is just because I'm super sensitive to things as a musician too. Like there were times where I was like, oh, I wish that could have been played more soulfully. Like it came across like instead of like, like there wasn't that kind of like,
like too karaoke-ish, not enough sauce.
Exactly. Yeah. And it just,
well, I mean, she definitely benefited from Alicia Keys being there. And Alicia Keys also being there under the influence, because I feel like you had the right judge for the right day for the right talent, because Alicia was into it. You couldn't tell her nothing. So
I literally went, oh God, I hope they cut to Alicia Keys and she's like, ooh, this isn't it. And they cut to Alicia Keys and she's like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What? No. Mm-hmm. Oh, Alicia, no.
I think ultimately,
have whatever you're on, please.
I think ultimately now knowing that, or feeling very confident probably that these queens will come back, I'm like less bothered about caring who was in the bottom, to be honest, like now.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, I think it was probably the right call.
And her shirt was ripped. Her dress was ripped.
Oh, Daya, 100%. I felt like deserved to be. Like, if you don't take RuPaul's advice where he's literally like, what are you showcasing about yourself by performing somebody else's song and not doing anything else with it? What are you showcasing? And you're just not getting that. That is a clear indication that says, I don't believe that you're going to be in the top or the middle. Like, you need to be able to adjust something there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the playing the game part of it, right? That is correct. Like, you hear this critique. Okay, what are you going to do about that? I think that Daya was hoping the fact that she had her little, she got a little tiny hat. She had the balloon. She had the confetti. She's like, don't worry, I got this. I got props. Like, it's not, you're going to see my sense of humor. That's what I'm telling you about myself. Because you can look at Georges and be like, what did you tell me that you're sexy? What else do I know about you?
That but you're Ru, young and you're beautiful. Yeah, you're young, you're gorgeous.
But Ru at the end is like, yes, mama. Like, cheering the house down for Georges. But it's like, well, you know, if I didn't know anything, right, I would be like, why are these two so different from one another? And why is Georges, you know, being saved where Diabetti has to be in the bottom? But it was a little boring. So I'm like,
it was a little boring. And the runway looks just weren't there. I mean, she was giving me such like Katy Perry realness with that blue wig. I was reliving my high school days. I really loved it. But the rip high was school? Just not there.
I'm just always going to be put right into my place with my age. I'm like, yeah, that was Katy Perry. That was like college. And then I'm like, high school?
I mean, that's the high school or college. You're acting like you were like already like married with kids, like in your 40s.
Could you imagine? I was on my way.
I was right into college. I was, as soon as you left college, I was right in. Like, we were not that far apart.
It is true though. I kind of just generally feel like this episode, in comparison to the first one, I felt like was designed to be just about Maddie. Like, this was, let's focus everything and Untucked essentially, and this, we're gonna bring it all back to Maddie and go from there. And that's great if you're going to do it for one episode. I don't want to see it for the rest of the season. I want to see, you know, what all the other queens' stories are and such. Because even with Angeria, checking in with Angeria all the time, I didn't get a better sense of who she was other than she's a great confessional person, right? And that she's got a really fun sense of humor and accent, and she's really good at drag. But it always seemed to come back drama wise, production wise. It was all about Maddie. And the first episode was not like that. They checked in with more queens, a little bit more balanced. I felt like, I'm going to put it out there, I thought that Lizzo was an incredible judge, and I didn't really feel one way or another about Alicia Keys. I love Alicia Keys, but I didn't feel like she's a first episode premiere kind of judge to have. She didn't have that same level that like we've seen from other women, the judges who have been on the show, other pop stars and such that have been on the show that know what they're talking about, that are filling with self-confidence, are excited to be there. Like, she was...
She's a little understated.
Bland.
She is. Yeah. I feel like if she had given us, like, oh, Grammy hosting Alicia Keys, I would have been much more into it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she seemed like she was a little...
She's a little subdued.
Yeah.
And I'm just... That's fine halfway through the season when we're sick of the show anyway. But like right now, like, you know, we're getting some excitement in.
But, you know, at least Angeria got to have her moment with her, because that's sort of definitely related, because my parents were big Alicia Keys fans, especially when songs in A Minor came out back in like 2000. I remember being in the back of their car listening to that and being like, oh, my God, I like love her voice. I love this. And it's so her music has always been a big part of my life as well. So I was at least happy that Angeria was like, you know, able to have that moment with her.
Beth was already married with kids at the time. So
I
couldn't
relate.
As soon as I was like, oh, let me not talk about being young.
Listening to the album and, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally respect the Alicia Keys behind the mirror protocol, COVID protocol thing, which I assume was the reason for that. But it was just so funny.
Don't touch me.
hey. Just behind the two-way mirror.
Oh my gosh, so funny.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to bring up, I love Deja. I think Deja's gorgeous. And I do think that she should have been in the bottom. But RuPaul calling her a lip sync assassin after one lip sync. She didn't even lip sync for her talent. So first of all,
To Fallen.
That at times I felt like she did not have at all the right emotion, and that Daya did, when I thought actually Daya captured the song a little better. I don't think either one of them really outperformed the other. And they're like, we have a lip sync assassin in our hands. I'm like, she won lip sync.
After all of the lip syncs that you saw today, girl, that's was the one.
You were screaming and shouting for Georges. And this one, you went, yes, that's a lip sync assassin.
Yeah, lowering the bar was how it felt for that. Because again, don't get me wrong, like, great job. I do think that Deja probably deserved to stay over Daya. But yeah, lip sync assassin? Like, okay.
We normally give that title after somebody has survived at least two, if not three lip syncs. Like, we don't even give a lip sync assassin every season. It's only for those that are literally lip syncing their way through the competition. Like, that is how they are surviving.
Yeah. No, that's questionable. Yeah. I mean, and the lip sync, you know, just to touch on that more broadly, it was fine. It was fine. I'd seen enough lip syncs though, so I was like
yeah, whatever.
Fine. Yeah, and again, by that point, we had people reach out to us, which we absolutely appreciate. Thank you for all your, you know, wonderful input and feedback. It was like, oh, 14 candy bars. Okay, man, I come back.
Yeah. So many people were like in my mentions, like 14 candy bars. I was like, okay, I get it. I'm sorry. Oh, and also, I will apologize because I also got a couple of comments about my comments about RuPaul. I was just intending to make a little shady joke about. She's not even that old. She's like, what, 60? It was just a shady comment. I apologize if I hurt anybody who's over the age of 60s, you know, feelings. Sincerely, I was just trying to make a shady joke. Clearly, it wasn't good. So I apologize. And I do not think that people that are 60 years old have to have their food cut up for them. I was just being facetious.
To be fair, I literally choked on food the other day, and my brother said the same exact thing. Do we need to cut up your food for you? So, I mean, it can afflict anybody at any age. Although, apparently, I am also 60 plus years old, as I already have grandchildren.
Right. When Amon was born, Beth was all right.
I was welcoming my first grandchild into the world.
Amen. All right. Let's see. What else? The mini challenge this week, the photo shoot, which, by the way, spinning on a wheel, sitting in a bowl of Tic Tacs, not sure exactly the same type of challenge, but the joke with Santino's hat and Maddie just being like, what? Same reaction. Exact same. I was like, what?
I don't get it. These inside jokes, ma'am.
Also, why bring him up?
Well, I don't know.
It's so controversial right now. Why would you even talk about him? He's incredibly anti-vax. He's so awful on all these different levels.
I was totally waiting for a Lucian Piani joke as well. That was oh yeah, we found sheet music. Let's just hit them off.
It was interesting to me that Deja was the first one to go. Were you expecting Deja to give you a bit more of a reaction? Because when we pulled that stunt about like, oh my god, this isn't what I asked for. Where are the Tic Tacs? Oh. I was like, Deja was scared. Deja was not in on the joke. She was like, what's going on? Like, I'm scared.
Yes. Okay. I'm so happy you reminded me of that, Amon, because that's what I was going to say. So, Beth, to go back to your question of why didn't RuPaul do some type of lip sync performance, it's because this was the time for the acting performance. Oh, okay. So we didn't get that last time. So we got that this time. You know, Ru's like all about diversification.
Yeah.
Got to like show off all my talents. So I think that's what it was. Because I remember when that was happening, I was like, this is the same energy as the performance for me.
No. They were very opposite forms of energy. There was no energy in the lip sync. And there was way too much energy about complaining about Tic Tacs.
Dial it back.
And what was the photographer's name? Alexander Sanchez? Like, he was just there for the check. Like, he was not.
He sits there and just nods the entire time. He has the camera like this. He's going, whatever you say.
You know, they rehearsed that like one good time, and RuPaul is like, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. And he's just like, okay,
sure.
I'm just going to take the photo.
Sure. Oh,
also, I'm sorry, and this is no shade to that photographer, although it kind of is. Those pictures were not good. The quality of those photos that they showed, the amount of shadows on when they were looking straight up at the camera, they were like, wow. I saw people being like, wow, all the photos were really good of all the queens. I'm like, yeah, the queens might have been fine, but the editing on those photos were awful to the point where I was like, clearly they edited some of these to look better than other queens.
I wanted to know who Jasmine Kennedy's favorite actress was, because she got to, RuPaul was asking them questions and telling them to answer with only their facial expressions and body language. And we got to Jasmine Kennedy, and RuPaul was like, who's your favorite actress? And she's just like, I was like, Angelina Jolie? Like, are you poking your lips now? Like, I wasn't sure what she was trying to get across. But I did enjoy Georgia's. I thought that Georgia's personally won. I thought that was hilarious.
Me too.
What she was doing.
Me too.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she is very Georgia's.
Oh my gosh.
Very Georgia's.
So Georgia's.
So Georgia's. I loved that entrance look.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. No, and her runway was great too. Oh.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Angeria's runway?
Yeah, let's talk about the runways. So, Angeria's wine runway.
I when I say out of all seasons, all stars, other things, I don't know why. This is one of my all-time favorite gowns I have seen on the runway, bar none. Like, she could have walked out in this in a finale on All Stars, and I would have been like, give her the crown. This is your first episode runway look.
Mm-hmm. And she knew how to perform it too. The walk was there. I mean, pageant girl, right? So
yeah,
she really sold the garment with the way that she came down that runway too.
It's what, so good.
What was the category? Was like not best drag, but like
it's like something. Your best drag aesthetic or something like, or show us who you are or something like that, right?
Yeah.
She nailed it.
She nailed it. And I think a lot of, and I don't mean this, I mean this in a very broad stroke kind of way, but I think a lot of pageant girls, when they come on the show, really struggle with show me who you are without being quote unquote generic pageant girl from South. And I don't know why, but she was able to really break that mold. Or it's not that I don't know why. I don't know how, but she was able to break that mold. And she came out and I was like, I know exactly who she is, what kind of polish she has, what kind of look she's going to come up with, how she holds herself, how she sells things. Instantly, I got that from her. And I will also say I was a little self-medicated while I watched this. And so the way I was like, oh, was amazing. Yeah. I loved this runway so much.
I will say Angeria's presence in this competition does make me feel a little better about my drafting of Cornbread, because I felt like Cornbread was going to be like the main star of the season and then get booted at the very end and we'd all be like, oh no, Cornbread. But now that there's seemingly two of them right now, I'm like, okay, all right. Now it's a bit of a battle.
Got a little bit of wiggle room here. the other look that I really want to talk about, you know, look, heads will roll. and I believe that Maddie's, again, show us who you are. This is so camp. This is so fun. You know, I get the critique of like, well, it's a little costume, but this is drag.
Yeah, if she had maybe like made the dress a little bit more glitzy glam, maybe like rhinestone the bloody stump, you know what I mean? Give it some, give it a little polish or something. then I would have been a bit more into it. I think what really sold it was the performance, like the way that she was able to toss her head between her hands like that. It actually looked like she was about to drop it, as opposed to, you know, it was very intricate, and I was thankful that Carson like really talked about that, because that's what really sold it for me. So yeah, she definitely did a good job, and I love that during the judge's critique she had to like stand on her knees as opposed to standing up, or else she would have been like off proportion with the other girls.
Well, yeah, she's like squatting, right?
She's bent over, I think, somehow.
Okay, I was trying to figure out how this works. At first I thought it was like, oh, she's on her knees, and I went back and I looked at it, I was like, no, those are clearly like feet. So not knees. So the mechanics behind this. Yeah, I thought really fun. You know, the makeup could be like a little bit better. But, you know, who am I to judge?
I mean, so, you know, it might be historically accurate. I mean, she was out to get her head chopped off. I don't think Marie Antoinette was really out there dolling herself up.
I'm going to be for the gods today.
I mean, again, was very self-medicated when this came out. And I was... so concerned, like I literally was like, what's going on? Oh my god. Oh, okay, I get it. There's been nothing like this on the runway before, and I think that in itself is like, that's the kind of ingenuity that we need to be rewarding. And I just, that's why I don't understand why she was anywhere near the bottom when you had queens, even if they did a great job in the lip sync and such, I just this is the ingenuity that I think is really interesting. And I don't know. Besides Angeria's, this was my favorite runway. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I think to be honest, I liked pretty much all of the runways.
Oh, I also like Jasmine Kennedy's, the
Cleopatra sort of look. Yeah, that was really gorgeous as well.
The gold
Georges, I thought also, again, looked gorgeous. She looked absolutely stunning. Let's see.
Stun.
Deja just looked so good. All those curves. She filled that dress out. It was so good. Loved it.
I even tweeted that at Deja. I was like, I love the way Deja paints her face. She's so pretty. I think she's gorgeous. I don't know why. It just really speaks to me. Like,
so gorgeous.
So gorge.
Okay. What else? Anything else from this week that y'all want to touch on?
I'm still bopping the catwalk. That is it. That is a bop. Okay. I went out this on Friday night to a gay bar, and so it was like on the loudspeakers when we watched it, and I was like, ugh, like feeling it. I love it. And Jada Essence Hall also agrees with me, because I saw her tweet out, I need the instrumental to catwalk right now. I was like, me too. Me too. Such a bop. I love it.
I really hope that we get a video in the not so distant future of Amon just strutting around like Philadelphia with
I'll get it dragged happens. For the first time on the finale. That's how long it'll take me to actually come up with a look.
There you go. You get there. That's all that matters. There's only two more things I quickly want to touch on. One is I actually want to talk again about June Jambalaya, because she had some lines in the, you know, because we got this sort of the end of their lip sync after the lip sync, whatever, from last week before we transitioned into meeting the new queens. And June's had two lines. One was, the Zatarain's and Uncle Ben gods are on my side. Made me laugh. And then also, this is going to, if anyone touches my stuff, this is going to go from RuPaul's to Bad Girls Club really quick. And I was like, oh, thank God you didn't leave. I mean, you know, assuming you would come back anyway, but I was like, okay, I need to meet you more. Thank you very much. And then the last thing is, so Cornbread, I saw this on social media, celebrated her birthday as well as the 1 year anniversary of her transition. So congrats to Cornbread. And Jiggly Caliente, the main reason why I'm bringing this up, had an absolutely hilarious comment on Cornbread's photo that was the doors that have been opened for you.
Cornbread has been letting Gia have it over the past.
It's been amazing.
And then Gia's like, this is why I don't tweet about this show anymore. It's like, oh, come on, girl. You did this to yourself. You did that. Like, come on.
Yeah.
She loves to play the victim. That's why I love Cornbread. Cornbread also is a true sister to her fellow contestants. I haven't even seen half the comments that she's referring to. Like, she went back and she was like, I don't know what y'all talk about with Maddie's makeup. I thought it was perfect. I didn't see any issues at all. And y'all need to calm down. And I was like, woo, they weren't even in this episode together. Like, so, like, there's, I think Cornbread's just awesome.
Yay. We love queens supporting queens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I also love my fake season.
My fake season. Oh, love my fake season. Gorge. Let's do a brief draft update. Although, you know, the points are made up. It doesn't matter if we think they're coming back. I don't know how Randy's going to score it.
Let's score them very high. If they come back.
extra points for returning to the competition. Beth had a little struggs week.
It's okay. Listen, I came into this week saying, you know what? The first week was going to be rough for me because I only had one queen that was in that first week. I was Bosco. The second week, I have Lady Camden. I have Deja Sky and I have Diabetti. This is my week. They're going to come bring the points, except for the didn't. And it's a sad moment.
Sad. Yeah. So I think you're still probably going to end up losing points, in the long run. Sorry, girl. But at least you will get Daya theoretically back in the competition. And wow, audience, you also might get Orion back. So good for you.
Well, so let's actually chat about that quickly. If they do come back and it's kind of fresh slate, who do we think is going to be the first out? If you have to make a prediction.
Okay. Obviously, this is without knowing what the next maxi challenge
I don't
be.
Know what the challenge is going to be. I don't
it's or, let's see. So they did for next week so the queens are going to meet, and then it says two fashion balls, darling. That's okay. the hint get. So something with balls,
probably a construction challenge.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe like making an outfit. But I don't understand two fashion balls, like exactly what that means. If there's going to be, I don't know, whatever.
Maybe they have to make two outfits.
Possible. There's also, RuPaul says, just when you think you know how the game is played, which also makes me think that's when the queens are coming back, the Orion and Daya. And then maybe we're going to get the candy bar thing. Who knows? But definitely there's going to be some twist reveal in this next coming episode. But at least in terms of what the challenge will be, something with balls.
Yeah. I have a hard time believing anybody who, if it's a construction challenge, I don't think that. So if I'm thinking about the people who were in the bottom, I have a hard time believing Orion or Deja would go home based off the fact that they make their own clothing. I think that Diabetti also is a construction queen.
Does Georges, does she do stuff, or is she one of them pretty girls that gets everything made for her?
Oh no, is it June? Didn't June say something about how she doesn't know how to make her outfits?
I'm not ready.
Okay, all right, well, that's gonna be my prediction.
Ready for that moment, so we're not gonna pretend that June's going home next. Okay, so I don't know who. Okay, so I think I wondered if it was going to be Alyssa Hunter. That was because I think that she's gorgeous, but I think that she has really struggled in that first episode being able to say like, hey, this is who I am. Now you're going to be introduced to a whole other group of people, and you are probably mentally in a place where you're like, I almost was in the bottom two, but I didn't have to lip sync for my life. And now the queens are coming back. I feel like there's going to be mental struggle there. That's my prediction.
It's possible.
Okay.
Well, we will see next week when we will be back to talk about episode 3, theoretically talking about all 14 queens, but we will see next week. All right. That does it for us, Beth. Do you have anything you would like to mention? What are you up to? Where can people find you on social media?
Yes, you can follow me at AugustaWind11 on all social media platforms, including my Twitch channel. I'm still on my weekly meltdown. Right now, my co-hosts are discussing the challenge and the like All-Stars, and then they also were doing LA Homecoming, and we are going to have a very special episode with special guests Mari and Matt joining us tomorrow or on the 17th is when I'm Monday the 17th because we have a lot to talk about with the conversations that this cast is having surrounding Black Lives Matter and police brutality and discussions of race equality, gender, sexuality, all those different kinds of things. So we thought we would have a really fun conversation. So please tune into that. And then I'm also doing Hot Mess Moments with Dylan. Talk about Lost and the Nanny.
All right. And Amon, what about you? Where can people find you on social media? What are you up to?
You can find me all over at Amon Adwin. The Choir Room has just now finished covering all 3 movies for High School Musical, 3 episodes each. So if you would like to check that out, go ahead and swing on over to the Choir Room, anywhere you get your podcasts. And I believe that is it for me.
All right.
And I'm also still covering Euphoria, of course, with Grace. Yes. If you're a Euphoria fan, check us out on Post Show Recaps.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. Just here, podcasting about Drag Race, chilling, having a great time. And leave your star ratings and reviews for us on iTunes. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/dragrace if you want to do that. That's the easy link, robhasawebsite.com/dragrace. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, and we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.